The upheavals in popular music of the 60s and 70s happened all over the world. Music critic Milo Miles has a review of a series of anthologies that tell the story of vintage pop in Panama.
In a recent Fresh Air piece, I talked about the timeless allure of legendary dance clubs like the Palladium in New York. But just as fascinating in their way are vibrant music scenes that never became more than regional hotspots. One lovely example that's recently come to light through reissue anthologies is Panama in the 60s and 70s. With the straightforward titles of Panama, Panama 2, and Panama 3, these collections resulted from actions that have to happen anytime an unknown scene is exposed to the wider world. Somebody, in this case a fellow named Roberto Gemont, has to go around to radio stations and secondhand stores that haven't thrown out their old vinyl. And then, as they say, start digging through the crates. Pretty soon, irresistible treasures show up. While searching for records, Gemont concentrated on the years from the mid-60s to the late 70s and discovered bands influenced by South America, particularly Colombia, and the Caribbean, particularly Cuba and Puerto Rico, rather than countries to the north. Panama is both a bridge and a crossroads, so the cheerful combination of styles can be startling. Is Serge Ablonsky's Juk Juk Part 1 calypso, reggae, salsa, more like a madcap combo of all three?
Joker in English, Joker in Spanish, Los que chival, Lord, what is this? Joke. Joke, joke. A joke in the front, joke in the back, Los que chival, oh Lord, what is that? Joke.
This Panamanian music was also the creation of a time as well as a place. Not only did musicians cover salsa stars like Willie Colon, but the forces of soul and funk were felt on the isthmus as much as anywhere else. This could misfire. James Brown is imitated but not even close to duplicated on these anthologies, but could also produce magic, like this version of Bill Withers' Ain't No Sunshine. Panama anthologies introduce some delightful, sturdy bands. I'm particularly fond of the Silvertones and Maximo Rodriguez and his Panama Stars. But sadly, no extraordinary vocalists. More important amid all the diversity, what exactly is Panamanian about the music? Although indigenous folk forms certainly play a part, I think the answer concerns an attitude more than a sound. The finest tracks on the Panama collections have the feel of a lovable, lighthearted scavenger hunt through a worldwide marketplace of music. These tunes are as unselfconsciously multicultural as any I've heard. Began with Panama II, the most consistent and high energy of these collections, as well as the best balance of folkloric and urban fusion. You may even get caught up enough to agree with the boast that ends one number. Panama, bridge to the world, heart of the universe.
Milo Miles lives in Boston. He reviewed the Panama anthologies on the Soundway label. We have this correction to an interview we broadcast about tobacco last week. New York Times reporter Duff Wilson referred to a government case against tobacco companies as a criminal conviction. In fact, the tobacco companies were found guilty of violating civil racketeering laws.